stretches out like a snake, eating its own tail. Sit back. Sink deep into your chair. Turn out the lights. And beware. It's time for The Claws. Urban legends for the 90s.
Campus was buzzing with talk about it, of course. A strangler stalking young girls, leaving their mutilated corpses in garbage dumpsters. That does tend to dominate conversation, especially among young girls. But even in a dangerous big city university, some things just aren't safe anymore. The killer's modus operandi were as follows. The girls were all exceedingly slim fashion model types, and they were all attacked as they walked home alone among the dark, dreary college buildings. After smothering his victims with chloroform, the killer dragged their limp bodies to the nearest dark, out-of-the-way corner. There he performed the rituals of his gruesome art. When tired of his toys, the maniac preferred to dump the corpses in the same dumpsters which serviced the school cafeteria. Despite heavy police surveillance and tripled guard duty, there had been 11 of these brutal murders in 7 months. Tonight, however, the forces of justice had vowed to end the reign of terror with a massive campus-wide stakeout. No path or parking lot was to be unobserved. Of course, life, as they say, goes on. The fall festival dance was a tradition that nobody was willing to give up, and that autumn night saw the student union hall become a frantic kaleidoscope of taut, sweaty flesh, throbbing music, and musk. Darlene and her date, however, weren't exactly partying hardy.
Dave, don't touch me there. Stop that. Put that away. Don't do that. Quit it.
Darlene slapped Dave's drunken, bloated face and stormed out of the hall. Behind her, Dave staggered away to be swallowed up into the crowd.
Oh, darn Dave, anyway. Now I've got to walk all the way back to the dorm, Darlene said to herself, angrily.
She began trudging up the sidewalk, leading to the campus proper. Behind her, she heard a voice.
Excuse me, miss.
A man wearing jeans and a sports shirt broke from the crowded dance floor and jogged quickly to her side.
I couldn't help seeing what happened in there. Are you all right?
Oh, Dave's such a dink. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. My name's Darlene.
I'm Trip Hawkins. I teach Aikido over in the gym. Say, you weren't planning to walk home alone, were you? That's kind of dangerous for a pretty young girl, don't you think?
Darlene favored Trip with her most dazzling smile.
Not when she's accompanied by the campus Aikido instructor.
Trip smiled, and the two disappeared into the gathering fog. As they walked along, Darlene favored Trip with her opinions about life, and Trip simply listened, his quick, agile feet making no sound on the moist concrete of the sidewalk. Suddenly, he turned.
Darlene, since we're right here at the gym, would you mind coming in with me? I'd like to pick up something from my office.
Darlene turned to him, confused.
I thought the gym was way over there. Oh, well, sure. I've got to use the ladies' room anyway.
Trip opened the door to the building, and Darlene saw the paint peel from the rusted metal like decayed flesh.
Oh, well, she thought. I didn't even know we had an Aikido gym here.
The decrepit gym was pitch black, but Trip turned on a dim light at the end of the hall. Once inside, Trip motioned vaguely to a narrow corridor. And as she made her way along, Darlene noticed a thick layer of grime coating the walls, as if this building had been neglected for years. But the pressure from her bladder overcame any considerations of hygiene, and Darlene swiftly found her way to the bathroom. She switched on the light and rapidly made preparations to obey nature's call. And then she paused. All over the tiny bathroom were newspaper clippings, taped to the wall with fresh layers of scotch tape. All the clippings seemed old, though, the tape beneath yellow and dingy, except for a small group which looked new, right on the bathroom door. Suddenly, that door pulled closed tightly, and Darlene heard the unmistakable sound of a bolt being thrown home.
Trip, what are you...
All at once, the subjects of the clippings leaped at her eyes. They were, of course, accounts of the campus strangler. Tripp's voice came dimly into the tiny room through the bolted door.
It's just not safe to be alone after dark, Darlene. That's why I live here in the old abandoned gym. I'll slide your food under the door and nobody will find us. And you can stay here with me forever and ever and ever.
As Darlene screamed and screamed and screamed, she looked through the keyhole in the bathroom door. There she saw Tripp capering around, her dinner clutched in his greasy hand. A rat impaled on a bloody hook.
Desert highway disappears into the screaming maw of tonight's private hell, and the hitchhiker you just picked up vanishes. You might find you've just taken part in an urban legend of the 90s. And now, back to Radio Dream.